Welcome to the I Love Recruiting Podcast with your host, Adam Roach.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the I Love Recruiting Podcast. I am your host, Adam Roach, and today I have an extremely special guest with us. Well, my better half. We'll just put it that way. My definite better half.
You were going to say other.
Dana Gentry is with us today, and she has an incredible track record in the recruiting space, in the leadership space, and is a massive, massive thought leader. And I'm just going to call you Dana, but honey, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's about time you had me on here.
Right.
Goodness.
Well, so here we are. You're here. You made it.
Yep.
Tell everybody who you are. Tell everybody what it is you've done, you've accomplished, and where you grow into.
Okay. So where do you want me to start?
Who are you?
As far back as when?
I don't care. I mean, okay. You were born and then what happened?
Oh, that's a long time. Okay. So this is my 16th year in real estate. I went to the University of Kentucky for college and actually did not graduate. I got my license in real estate when I was in between sophomore and junior year of college. And I actually was listening to a podcast this morning with John Maxwell and Tyler Perry, and Tyler Perry was sharing that he didn't graduate from college either. And you know, I love to hear when someone doesn't graduate from college. So got into real estate and worked new construction and sold a lot of houses and then did that at a small mom and pop company. Then was with Remax for a few years, and then about 7 years ago, I think, joined Keller Williams. Right after I joined Keller Williams, I started to build a team, and then the office that I was a part of, we launched a brand new office in Lexington, Kentucky. And then right after we opened, the team leader wasn't the team leader anymore. They decided to do something different in that office, and the team leader being the recruiter.
Yep.
And the one who coaches and consults the agents in the office. And so people kept saying, "You got to do it. You got to do it." And I had never recruited anybody or anything in my life. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I had really never had that many jobs. I always kind of worked for myself. Well, I had a couple, but I stepped into that role and kind of as just like to help just temporarily. And then, ended up staying for almost 3 years and took that office from 64 agents to 224-ish in right a little over two and a half years. And we became number one market. We took number one market share and then became the number one real estate office in Lexington, Kentucky, after a company had it for like over 30 years. No mm-hmm. one had ever been able to take it from them, and we did it in 2 years.
All right. So now you're just gloating. So let's just pause for a second, because let's go back, because the team leader role was not something you wanted to do, was it?
No, it was not mm-hmm. something I wanted to do, actually.
So share with everybody real quick the story of because you prayed about it. Mm-hmm. You went back and you thought, you prayed, and yeah. you looked for signs. And tell everybody about the story of the sign of how you knew you were meant to be the team leader.
Yeah, so I didn't really want to do it because I didn't want to have a job. Mm-hmm. And I loved the flexibility of real estate. And honestly, I had never recruited. I didn't even know really what that meant. And so, I talked to several people and I'd just been praying about it, and I had a really uneasy feeling. I couldn't decide whether that was the right decision or not. And I'm sure I'm not the only person that's ever felt that way. I am the person that actually needs a legit sign in front of me to make decisions sometimes. And so I had been volunteering at church for like over a year. And every single Sunday, when I got there, I would go and get underneath of this cabinet on the side and pull out a lanyard and put the lanyard on. And that was like my volunteer lanyard. Mm-hmm. And I never honestly ever in the full year paid attention to what it said or anything. And so that morning I thought I was driving to church, and I remember being literally in the parking lot. I remember where I was in the parking lot. And I just was thinking and praying, I'm going to make a decision on this today. I'm either going to accept the team leader position or I'm not. And I'm going to stop thinking about it. I'm going to put it out of my head. And so I walked into church, was doing the greeting, and then was kind of by myself because the service started. And I thought about it again. Okay, I got to make a decision today. And I literally looked down and pulled out the lanyard. And for the first time in the little over a year that I'd been volunteering, the lanyard said team leader. And I never had noticed that ever the whole entire time I'd been volunteering there. And I was like, okay, well, here's the sign. So I accepted. That was on a Sunday. I accepted the job on Monday.
Yeah. So here at the I Love Recruiting podcast, we have an equation. And we have all heard the equation now many times. And the equation is recruiting equals influence equals leadership. So let's go now down this path. So you were hired as the team leader, as a recruiter, right? And from that recruiting moment, you then had to go into an influencer because, again, that was your job, was to go out and recruit people. So walk us down this path of your growth. How did you go from being an agent to now stepping into the role of again, the KW world, being a team leader, someone that leads the ship, someone that then is the recruiter. What was that path look like? Tell us about that. And then also, what did that mean to be an influencer?
Well, I never had led anybody but myself ever. And so that was interesting. And leadership is, I mean, you just still evolve every single day. I grow more and more and more into leadership. As far as the recruiting aspect, you know, I think originally I just kind of started with probably what a lot of people do. It was just who I had relationships with and really kind of just recruiting them based on energy or excitement or, you know, hey, you're going to love this. It wasn't as much of like the diving in of their needs analysis of their business and really understanding how I could help them in the beginning. I grew into that. But in the beginning, it was just more of, you're going to love this. And the reality is, I don't know if this is a good time to talk about this or not, but I'm going to talk about it. The reality is, Linda McKissick says this to me all the time. She is a great recruiter, phenomenal recruiter. You've got to have her on, by the way.
Okay.
Great recruiter. And
Linda, we're going to recruit you.
Great recruiter. And she's always said one thing that has stood out to me. None of us are good enough to make somebody buy or sell. None of us are good enough to make somebody move or make a decision or to recruit somebody, if you will. We can't make anybody do anything. What we have to be able to master is helping them self-discover that this is the right decision for them. And people only self-discover three ways: through questions, stories, or experiences.
Okay.
And so being able to learn how to ask somebody really great questions. Number one, you have to be able to master questions. And also we have to talk about being real and genuine and authentic.
Sure,
we'll do that next.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have to be able to master asking really great questions. Number one, then you've got to be a masterful storyteller. You have to be able to come up and think of, come up with and think of stories of people that you know, or stories that are going to touch them personally and impact them. And then the last thing you have to do is, and this is the very best way, is you have to give them the experience. So you have to show them. So for me, that was always bringing them to a training, inviting them to be a part of something that we're learning, attending a convention. You know, no matter, I know a lot of people that aren't in real estate listen to this podcast, so it may be different for whatever you, whatever field your listeners are in. But you've got to be able to have them experience something. That's the best way to get somebody to self-discover. And so ultimately realizing that we're not good enough to just go recruit. None of us really are. And you may be able to recruit just on your natural tendency, your personality, your energy, your profile, just who you are, your influence, like you said. And you will hit a wall at some point with that. You can only like, I think I brought over 12 of my Remax friends and then I couldn't do anymore because I got them because we were friends. You know what I mean? And then after that point, you hit a wall because your natural ability is only going to take you so far. Then you have to really master, if you are going to be a great recruiter, you have to master those skills that it takes to be a great recruiter.
So let's go into those skills real quick, because again, it sounds like you started with your natural ability.
Right.
And you went after your friends at RE/MAX. What were some of those skill sets that you had to learn to get out of that natural phase of being a recruiter and an influencer?
Well, the first thing I had to learn is not everybody's going to say yes all the time. And you can't get your feelings hurt. And so you have to learn how to control your emotions when it comes to stuff like this, when it comes to recruiting, which sometimes can be hard to do. The second thing you have to learn, or I had to learn, maybe other people don't, but is patience. I'm not a very patient person. And recruiting somebody, no matter what field you are in, is a big change for people. Typically, that's something that is a big change in their life. And so it takes time. You know, you in the real estate world, you can go and recruit a brand new agent with your eyes closed all day long. Yeah. When you're talking about a 50, a 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 million or plus producer, those aren't people that you meet with one time and they make the move.
Right.
I've literally recruited and worked people for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love to say, well, I could name a ton, but I swear, I think Robin Jones, Jenny Mattioke, I mean, 3 years plus on mm-hmm. some of those people. And I think today they would tell you it was the best decision they've ever made
right.
in their business career. It just takes time. So you have to learn patience and you have to stay the course.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's very difficult and challenging. I am a visionary, not an integrator. So mm-hmm. I had to also learn number three, I would say, to be surrounded by really good people who their strengths are my weaknesses, because nobody's perfect except for Jesus, right? So we're not all great at everything. And I very much know what I suck at. And I suck at at the implementation of things and the follow-up. I can go and have the idea and make it happen all day long, but I have to have somebody that follows along with me and actually does that stuff. So in the team leader role, that was Blair. Mm-hmm. And we were the yin to each other's yang.
Right.
And I could have never have done that, anything like that we did without her and my team around me. And so I think you have to learn how to have the right people around you. Mm-hmm. So that was a big one for me because I had never had a staff. I never led a team. I mean, I didn't know how to do any of that stuff.
So let's go for a second real quick. So, because I want to share this with everybody. I love what you said, your feelings will get hurt, and then control your emotions. So I have a saying, everybody, and it goes something like this. Some will, some won't.
Oh, yeah.
Some wait, so what? Who's next? And I say that lovingly with the who's next standpoint, because again, if you get caught up in one of these, call them a big mega agent or someone that is a really big head turner that you're looking to recruit, they will tell you no in the beginning. They will come up with every reason why they will not join your company. And if you go by that model, some will, some won't, some wait, so what, who's next, your feelings probably will not get caught in the way there.
Yeah.
So let's go into this.
Because to me, can I, sorry to interrupt you.
You go right ahead.
Because
some things never change.
To me, no means not yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so no doesn't mean no. So the first time or the fifth time or the 50th time that some of the people that I've recruited have said no, mm-hmm. I just knew it wasn't the right timing. And the key to recruiting should I keep going?
Or? Go for it. Yeah,
okay.
You're on fire.
Okay. So the key to recruiting, number one, is you have to be genuine, real, and authentic.
Yeah.
People can smell bullshit, or sorry, I shouldn't have cussed on your podcast. People can smell BS from a mile away. And if they just think that you're trying to recruit them or sell them something, that's not how it works. You have to be in this because you care about the people first and foremost. You have to have a servant's heart. You have to take a stake in their businesses and in their lives, because this affects them. This affects their families, all of those things. So you have to be genuine, real, and authentic, and you have to care about the people. You know, the other thing that I would say with that too is you have to really, it's kind of like dating, honestly, when you're mm-hmm. recruiting. I've said this to a lot of team leaders that I've kind of helped lead over the years. It's kind of like dating. You have to be in a relationship with these people, and it has to be a two-way relationship, meaning you have to actually bring them value. So you have to figure out what are they missing? What's their gap? And even if right now they don't want to make a move, that's okay, because you're not going to get everybody you want in the same month or the same week, but you have to keep in relationship with these people over and over and bring them value. Right. I'll never forget when I very first became a team leader, one of the things that I did, and I don't even know how I came up with this, but I created a newsletter. And I sent it to every realtor that was a member of the Lexington Bluegrass Association of Realtors. I did get asked to never teach a class there again because they thought I was going to just try to recruit everybody. So that also worked against me negatively. However, I had no intention other than to just bring these people value. And I would put in like, here's a great motivational quote. Here's a video you should watch this week. Here's some of the top real estate leaders. Every time I went to hear Gary Keller speak or John Maxwell speak or anybody speak, I would upload my notes and send them and share them with everybody. Because when you come from abundance like that, I love, I think it's Andy Stanley who does this. He always says, when your hands are closed, I'm going to kind of butcher this. Let me think about it. When your hands are closed and you actually make the physical motion of your hands being closed, what can you really get in your hand? I guess you could fit like a couple of really teeny tiny, like small little pieces of sand or I don't know, something in there. But when your hands are open, you're able to receive anything. And so when your hands are open and you're giving and giving and giving and giving and pouring into people and pouring into people, then your hands are open so that you can receive whatever it is that they're going to give back to you. And so I think you just can't think about it as I'm just going to go with a script and recruit this person. It's so much more than that.
Right.
Yeah.
So we heard about the recruiting side. We also then heard you transition into the influence side of the equation. Now we hear you transitioning, or at least I do, into the leadership side, right? You brought up John Maxwell, you brought up Andy Stanley, you've talked about being abundant in your thinking and your giving of the value. Walk us down that growth path for you of going from agent to recruiter, recruiter to now value provider of influence to now leadership. Because what you do now is you lead an entire region.
Yeah. And I think one of my favorite quotes I love to share with people is bloom where you're planted. I have so many people say to me, how do I get an opportunity? How do I get into leadership? How do I get to own an office? How do I get to do this? How do I get to do that? And I always say, you have to bloom where you're planted. You have to show up. The only reason I got asked to be an investor in that market center was because I had influence and I came right over and was on the board of directors. I was planning charity events. I was doing whatever. I was at every training event. I was soaking up everything that there was to soak up. And you have to bloom where you're planted. And thankfully, I've just been blessed to be able to do that through every process. So from team leader, you know, going to opening and owning and being the OP of some offices led to the opportunity. I bloomed where I was planted. And I say that, you know, not to like to boast or anything, just to show that when you do that, it gives you opportunities. And then that led me to be able to work with Linda McKissick and help run the entire Keller Williams Ohio Valley region. And now I do the same thing. I recruit for the whole entire region. And as far as the leadership side on that, I mean, you are who you're surrounded by. And I used to hear people say, oh, the ring of five, you know, or whatever. And I was like, meh, whatever. The reality is, if you want to be a millionaire, you need to go hang out with a bunch of millionaires. If you want to be the best leader that there is to be, then you better go hang out with who you think is the best leader. In my opinion, that is John Maxwell, and several others. If you know, getting to listen and be around Gary Keller. I mean, Gary's the most influential man in real estate. There's only what 200 and something billionaires, I think, in the United States, and he's one of them. And I get to hear him every single week.
Right.
So it's just, who are you? Like sometimes I used to sit in that room. Now I sit on the Zoom thanks to COVID-19 and think, man, out of 160 something thousand people in this company, there's 90 or so of us on the call, and it's humbling. I mean, it's just a blessing to be able to have that. And so I think you have to grow in your leadership. The first thing you have to do is be learning based, because if you're not learning based, then you're not going to get anything. I know you're the same. This is why we fare together so well. Is that the right word?
Fare together.
I think that's the right word. It could not be. But we're junkies. We're obsessed. We actually have in our budget a specific amount that we say every single year, this is what we're going to do. Some years are more than others. But to actually go and learn and to hear Craig Rochelle and Andy Stanley and John Maxwell and you know, who else, like all the people that we've gone to learn from. And I just think, when you stop learning, you die. And so you have to be learning based and then you just have to be around good leaders.
Well, and to your point, of surrounding yourself with who's right. So let's go down the leadership.
Oh, I have a good story.
Well, can I,
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
and then you can bring it up.
Okay.
So think about the who's right. And this is for all the listeners and we'll give you an example of this. We started to, I fell in love with John Maxwell in 2010, and I was a member of his certified coaching program way back in the day. And I have a picture, I'll probably post it on my Instagram here, maybe tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
for Throwback Thursday. Picture. Yeah, when I had hair. And I got to meet John for the first time. And that's when I fell in love with his leadership style and his leadership teachings. Now, we go to his John Maxwell,
exchange.
And we've gone now 2 years in a row. We went to Beverly Hills 2 years ago. This past year, we flew all the way to London. And this year, we're going to be in San Diego. And I'm sharing this story because as we go to these events, it's not just John Maxwell that we get to surround ourselves with mm-hmm. now. It's the room filled with other leaders that we get to now immerse ourselves with yeah. and grow with. And how does that relate to recruiting? Well, it grows you as a human being. And then as you're able to go back in the equation, we say leadership then also equals influence, which then equals simple recruiting.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay, go ahead and share your story.
I kind of forgot it. Oh, I know. I was just going to say surrounding yourself with leaders. So I heard Tyler Perry. I know I'm talking about Tyler Perry twice today, but he happens to be fresh in my mind. I loved one time he shared in an interview with John Maxwell that he always, when he was a kid, he would watch Oprah mm-hmm. he was kind of obsessed with her, not like in a romantic way, but in like a man, like that I want to be an Oprah. Like he wanted to be like the male version of Oprah
right.
or be as successful as Oprah. And he said he always felt like he had a kinship with her, which you might not know that word. It's kind of a Southern word, but he said he always felt like he had kind of a kinship with her.
So with an I or an E?
I think it's with an I.
Okay.
Meaning that he felt like that they were, like that they should be together, you know, that they should be friends, that they should be in each other's worlds. He felt like she was like a part of his family. She just didn't know who the heck he was. And so when he finally, obviously he became very successful, and he talks about the first time that he met Oprah uh-huh. and he said that he, of course, was kind of starstruck, but he said he told her, you know, I always felt that we were going to do things together. Uh-huh. I've always felt like I had a kinship towards you. And as crazy as this sounds, I could remember the very first time I ever came to Keller, when I came to Keller Williams, right before that, I heard Linda teach how to have 10 listings a month for the rest of your life or something like that as a realtor. And we never got training where I was. And so I was like, oh, this is the best thing ever. I'm going to learn how to have 10 listings a month forever. And so I remember listening to Linda talk, and I just remember thinking, like, we're going to be in each other. I'm going to be in her world. We're going to be in each other's worlds. And then this is even crazier. As I moved into leadership, because she owned our whole region, right? So as I moved into leadership opportunities within the region and didn't work for Linda, there was a big seminar or a big class, career visioning at the time, teaching people about how to, it's like the motivational interview where it's like, where do you want to be in 5 years with your money, with your job, with your life, blah, 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 blah. And so Linda was actually teaching the class, and somehow she had said before, I mean, we knew each other obviously, but she said, hey, can I use you to do the motivational interview on? So I have a picture of me sitting in this stool with my Yeti cup full of water at the front of this room of like probably 300 other agents, realtors, and leaders in the room. And Linda's walking me through where I want to be in 5 years. And I said, I want to work for the region. And it's crazy when I look back and think about all of that. It's just like when you have to really believe those things and more than believe them, you have to see them. And I have actually like put them on my vision paper. I don't have a board because I don't like clutter. And I mean, where do you even put one of those big boards anyway? So I have them on like a piece of paper that I usually keep in my planner. I took yours down.
Yeah, I had one here in the office.
I knew you were looking for it.
It must be in the closet.
I put it in the closet.
Great.
They're just not practical. But anyway,
vision board.
So you have to really believe and see yourself in those ways and in those opportunities, I guess is the better word. And all of that goes with recruiting, because if you don't see yourself as somebody who's going to be able to make a big difference in people's lives, then you're not going to.
I put this right here. I mean, you can't see it. We're on a podcast, but I was born to do great things.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's a very, very simple affirmation. However, it's one that you're speaking of influencing and impacting people's lives, right?
Yeah.
You're born to do great things. Okay, great. Okay, this has been very, very valuable. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome. Thanks.
I actually learned a few things from you today. So it was good.
Right. Record that, actually.
Okay, where can people go find you, number one? And promote, let's do a couple things. Promote the podcast.
Okay.
Okay, number one. Promote your Wednesday morning mindset.
Oh, awesome.
Right? Let's get that out there.
Okay.
And then tell everybody where they can find you so they can go follow you and learn.
Okay. So I am not great at Facebook, but I am great at Instagram. Mm-hmm. So you can find me on Instagram at Dana G Gentry. Is my little name, whatever it's called, handle. And then, I have a podcast with Linda McKissick and it's called Everything Life and Real Estate. And even if you are not a realtor or in real estate, you should still listen to it because we truly talk about all kinds of stuff. We have a lot of really great guests on there. We've had several lately who have been awesome. We just had the author of Rocket Fuel and we had a top genetics health doctor from Dallas, Texas, talking about genetics and stuff. So anyway, Everything Life and Real Estate podcast. My email, danagentry@kw.com.
I mean, that's up to you if you want to.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And then, that's fine. And then also I just started, honestly, because of all of this COVID-19 stuff that's going on. I don't know when you're going to air this, but I'm sure we'll probably still be dealing with it. Mm-hmm. So, I just started a Wednesday morning, 30 minutes. It's a Zoom. We had like 80 something people on this morning. It's just called Wednesday Morning Mindset with Dana. And I have friends in there. I have clients in there. I have peers in there, other leaders, a lot of great people. So on Facebook, actually, there is a closed Facebook group that is called Wednesday Morning Mindset with Dana. Mm-hmm. And they can go join that Facebook group and you can get the link. And anybody, I would love to have anybody hop on Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. to 9:30. It's just 30 minutes Eastern Standard Time.
Gotcha. Perfect. Anything else we should share with these listeners? Do you think there's any quick action items we should tell them to go do related to either recruiting or influencing and or leadership?
Yeah, I would say action items for recruit. Well, I guess the first thing I would say, I would go back to the questions, stories, and experiences. Mm-hmm. And if you are a recruiter and you're listening to this right now, I would ask yourself, like on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being terrible and 5 being you are the best of the best, you're John Maxwell. Mm-hmm. How great are you at asking questions?
Right.
And then I would say for stories, can you identify, 3 to 5? You don't need a ton because you'll forget them.
Right.
Can you identify 3 to 5 stories that relate to whatever world you're in, whatever your recruiting or leadership world that you're in? Can you identify 3 to 5 stories that you can share over and over to your people? And then with experiences, what are you providing that you can actually invite those people to so that they can experience something? Are you having a training that they can experience what you're doing? Do you have a product that you can send to them so they can experience it first? Or, whatever that looks like for you, those would be mine.
Yep. That's really, really good. So asking questions real quick before we end, if you go to iloverecruiting.com and fill out the top form, I personally will send you 26 questions I have used, created, and tweaked along the way of being a recruiter for the last 20 years that I'll send you. So again, iloverecruiting.com and fill out the top form section and we'll send that over to you. And I believe this is probably going to drop on Friday. So that's that. Go download I Love Recruiting podcast on whatever platform you listen to, and we will be back next time. So this is your host, Adam Roach, with special guest, my honey, Dana Gentry. See you. Bye.
Thanks.